the one thing that you discover about yourself and that I've discovered is that I have a much bigger well of strength than I thought I had.
My name is Esprit Devora, host of the Women in Tech Show. The show means a lot to me. The reason why I wanted to create the Women in Tech Show is I wanted to create a positive piece of content, something where people can listen and say, if she can do it, so can I. I call it actionable empowerment. Every single episode, you'll hear the story of a fantastic woman in tech, from engineers to founders to investors to journalists to designers, all sorts of different females in tech who have thrived. I want to share their stories with you so that you can know what resources, mentors, and life situations they accessed in order to get to where they are today. Enjoy.
Welcome back to the Women in Tech podcast. Oh my gosh, you guys, I am Dublin, Ireland at the Bank of Ireland, and they have this cool workspace called Workbench where technology enthusiasts and entrepreneurs can just come and work and like collaborate. And I'm sitting in one of their meeting rooms right now, and I'm here with Claire, and she's just so great to take the time to meet with me. Claire, go ahead and introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about your company.
Sure. So my name is Claire McHugh. I'm the CEO and co-founder of Axonista. We're a video technology company, and we help brands get up and running on smart devices. So we do smart video and smart devices, and that's anything from interactive video commerce things with buy buttons overlaid on top of video to just getting up and running on Xbox and lots of different platforms like that are coming out.
Let's like go back. When did you fall in love with technology?
Wow, it's kind of funny. I've always sort of viewed technology as a route to do something cool. So like I was in a very creative household. Like I grew up, my mom was an artist. So she did that full time, and she was very, very good at it as well. And she doesn't do it anymore, but she should. My brother's, he's a writer. He doesn't do that full time. He should. and my dad was into like theater as well. So I grew up in a very creative household. And when I left school, I could have done anything I wanted to do, but I really wanted to do music. So I went to rock school, which is actually a real thing. And I did that for a couple of years before deciding what I wanted to do. But in order to produce our own music, I was in a couple of bands, we had to learn how to use technology properly, and that was kind of, I can do this, or I can make music sound this way. And it was probably in the late 90s when I was there. So it was a lot of cool stuff happening with technology around music production that was new. So you really got to play with a lot of new things for the first time. So that's really when I fell in love.
Talk about, what is your role in your company today?
Well, I'm the CEO. So,
the co-founder.
Yeah.
And you have how many business partners do you have?
Just myself and the co-founder. That's it.
Oh, cool.
We worked together before we set up a company together. And we worked in digital. One of the first big digital agencies in Dublin was my co-founder's agency. It was called Nebula Technologies. And we were doing websites for enterprise companies and very early mobile stuff. And it grew to a quite a sizable number of people. It was maybe 200 on the team, and all the co-founders, there was four of them, they were all in their 20s. It was madness. Yeah. But it was really good fun. I've always worked in early stage startups with the company founders very much part of the process. So I've learned a lot from those people, and I think that's something, whether it's been like working in a shop on a summer job to working with Satanta Sports, which is one of the big Irish TV startups, which I worked in for a number of years in various different roles there. I've always really liked the idea of creating something out of nothing, and I think that creativity really spurred me on to become an entrepreneur.
And what, like, when was that transition? Like, what did you have a moment when you're like, yeah, I wanna pursue this? Or was it just kind of this organic progression, and then all of a sudden one day you owned a company?
No, there was a moment. There was a moment where I was working in sports broadcasting here, and I could see that mobile and video were coming together in a very real way, that we had the infrastructure to deal with it. We had, and I was very excited about video being on mobile devices because you could, touchscreen devices, iPads and things were coming out. So it's like, this is actually the start of something really, really interesting.
Yeah.
Whereas, video isn't just play and pause anymore. You can actually do lots of things with it. And at the time, it wasn't on the radar for the company that I was working with at all. They were just doing broadcasting. And I was talking to Dara, who's my co-founder, and he was doing mobile. He was doing a little bit of mobile development, but he was also doing enterprise development for a number of years. And he wanted to get into a product. So we said, well, we just went for a few pints and then we discussed what would be really cool. Could we like create a company that
did a great way to start a company.
In Dublin, it's not the most uncommon way to start a company is to have a few pints and discuss it that way. And you know, we decided, yeah, let's do something in mobile video with TV and figure it out from there.
And have you guys raised money?
We raised a seed round in 2014.
And how was that? What was that experience like?
It was really good.
By the way, when were you founded?
It's almost 7 years ago.
What? Oh my God, can you find it? It's huge.
Thanks. So we have a team of 20 people now, which is like amazing. Different to when we started off. Like the first year and a half, it was just the two of us really. We, you know, it was like, what are we doing? What do we try? And we were trying lots of different things. And we had a big network of people who were interested in doing innovative stuff in broadcasting that we could try stuff out with. And we had customers pretty much straight away, which was great.
Right.
We had customers in the US, we had customers here, but they were service contracts.
Right.
We hadn't really created a product yet. And in 2013-14, it just seemed like the timing was right to do something because we were a little bit ahead of our time.
Right.
So it was bootstrapping up until then. I was like, okay, this is the right time to actually do something there and create a product and build a team. And we need cash to do that. We need cash to grow. So we, in Ireland, Enterprise Ireland are a company here. Do you know about those?
I'm familiar, but go ahead and.
Yeah. So they're a government agency and they help startups here and they also help you export and create jobs. That's their two focuses, creating jobs here and exporting outside of Ireland. So they have this program called HPSU, and we applied for a smaller funding round that they do these smaller funding rounds called the CSF. And we didn't get it because I'm sure our application was horrible. But what they did with us was they put us on this program, and it was like an accelerator program. It was called the Propel program at the time, and it's where I met some people like Gene Murphy. I met him there. He was also on that program.
Go ahead and let's talk about Gene Murphy. Has been so supportive in the Women in Tech podcast. Go ahead and let's talk about Gene Murphy for a second.
Gene is like one of my startup heroes. There's a couple of them in Dublin. You know, there's so many of these great people who are just the cornerstone of the community here, and they pop up at everything, and they really do help people collaborate but also find the resources they need to start, and they give them the confidence to do it as well. So Gene is involved in so many different things.
And what's like Gene's bio?
Well, he had his own startup at the time. It was called Redeem and Get. And they did something with Groupon. I can't really describe it properly. Yeah. But so he went through that whole founder cycle as well. And then, you know, he's been working here in Bank of Ireland as their entrepreneur in residence for the last,
I think,
year or so. I also work with him on in Techstars, the Startup Next program. We do some mentoring there. He organizes that. He does so many different things.
And his Twitter handle, do you know it off the top of your head? You guys will include his Twitter in the show notes, and if I
think it's just Gene Murphy.
Is it just Gene Murphy?
Might be.
I'll tell you guys too. I'll kind of like click around as we're talking and get you
no
Gene's
problem.
Twitter profile. We'll definitely include it in the show notes for you. But yes, continue. Yeah.
Yeah.
So seed round, which is so exciting that you haven't raised money after a seed round.
Mm.
Is that means that you built the company to be self-sustaining?
Yeah. Well, we bootstrapped and we had revenue. So when you have revenue, it's easier to bootstrap than when you don't. And, you know, there were things along the way that were kind of growing pain things. Like there was a point where I was over-dependent on one customer and that customer was having their own problems. And we were suddenly finding ourselves, we might be running out of runway. And we were closing that seed round, but we had to look very strong in order to do that.
Right.
Now, Enterprise Ireland partook in that. They were like, you know, they actually give you 50% of the funds. You raise the other 50%. It's really, really good. You know, we were like, shit, you know, this is,
How do we Are you able to say how much you raised in your seed round?
It was about $500,000.
Yeah.
But that was plenty for us to build the first couple of iterations of our product and to hire some very key members of our development team, very much on the engineering side initially. And those people are still with us today, which is fantastic. But yeah, there was a tricky part where I didn't have an overdraft, for example. Right. I remember I met my dad one day. My dad was a CEO as well before in his time. And he's like, do you not have an overdraft? And I was like, no, I should probably get one of those. That's kind of something that, you know, real companies have.
So tell us, because so many people listening.
Yeah. So we got one from Bank of Ireland. They're our bank. And that was enough to bridge us. We were also getting our first major deal signed. So, and it was an enterprise customer.
But
so
when you say an overdraft, you mean a credit line?
Yes.
Yes. Because people may not know.
Okay.
So, and why have a credit line in place?
So that you can bridge that gap when you don't have cash.
And would you say, the word is easy, such a funny word. Mm. Would you say that it's easy to get a credit line in Ireland, Dublin, you know?
No, it's not. You have to, I mean, I don't know what it's like now. You just have to show the proof of you have money coming in the future and show where your gap is.
Yeah.
And all you really want is the ability to cover that gap.
Yeah. It's like a small business loan in the States.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Which we also got as well, I think, early on as well. But it's just...
It's funny. I don't hear the traditional routes very often anymore.
Right.
It's always about venture capitalists or angel investors or accelerators or, you know, incubators or whatever. It's never like, oh, yeah, just go to the bank, get a line of credit. You know, that's the way people used to do it.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's not tech sexy.
It's not sexy, but, you know, it's very real and very reasonable. And these are things that, you know, you just have to make sure. I think that the number one thing that companies go out of business over is not having enough cash.
Well, I mean, what's interesting is, you know, like I just said, it's not tech sexy, but here we are sitting in the Bank of Ireland's workbench that they set up to support entrepreneurs. Mm. So I think that they want to say, hey, we're still here. Like, we want to have your back. And you say your overdraft was from the Bank of Ireland.
Yeah.
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 So comes full circle.
It does.
Yeah. And Gene is an entrepreneur in residence at the Bank of Ireland. By the way, I found his Twitter. It's just at @GeneMurphy on Twitter. And he's so rad.
He's great. He is really great.
Yeah. So what would you say is something you've discovered about yourself in achieving your dreams?
The one thing that you discover about yourself and that I've discovered is that I have a much bigger well of strength than I thought I had, and quite able to deal with things that, you know, probably would have knocked me. And the more shit that hits you, the more you're actually, that deeper that well gets.
Right.
Another thing is that, you know, you're much more capable of things than you think you are. I think everyone has their own internal monologue, which is, you know, if you sit and listen to the things that you actually say to yourself.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Kind of pretty mean.
It's true. Especially, we do that as women. We're so self-critical. Yeah.
It's a huge awful thing. And I think imposter syndrome is massive.
Right? Yeah.
And I guess that goes across everybody. But it's something that I suffer from greatly. And I know that a lot of my female friends, it's something that holds them back from doing something like this. Whereas they might, but they're like, oh, no, I'm not good enough, or I don't have qualifications. Yeah. Like, just do it.
You know, this show, this Women in Tech podcast is, you know, literally at the top of iTunes. It's like the featured on
it's
the top
phenomenal
of iTunes. And I totally have imposter syndrome. People will be like, yeah, her show is at the top of iTunes. And I feel like they're lying.
I know exactly.
You know, like, I'm like, that's actually real. Like, that's a true statement. That's so weird.
I know. Like, it's weird. Yeah. Right? And then it's like, someone's going to find me out. Yeah, that I don't really know.
Like, and I took a screenshot, you know, just to say I'm not like this is, and I feel like I photoshopped it, you know, but it's like so surreal that's a real
thing.
That's
brilliant though. Congratulations.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, but it's like, I think we always have that, you know, no matter how many like accolades we get or like, you know, different like milestones that we cross, at least in like the female makeup. It seems like we're culturally developed to kind of be very reserved about achievements.
Yeah. And not to be boastful.
Yeah.
And that's a real Irish thing as well.
Yeah.
It's very much, you know, play things down, you know.
Yeah.
I'm just doing this. It's, you know.
Yeah, no big deal.
Yeah.
What would you say, actually, while we're on this topic, and I actually don't like to be so super, like, female-sided because I cherish men. Like, I love guys. I love girls equally. Like, I never want it to be about I want it to be how we achieve. I want that to be a focus. As you guys know, the theme of the show is actionable empowerment, right? So
I love that theme, by the way.
Yeah, it's so cool,
it's
right? It's about what can we do?
Yeah.
And showing examples of she could do it, so can I.
Very but, much so.
So what would you give in negotiation? That's something that, you know, like, how can we negotiate more effectively?
You got to find out what the other person really, really wants.
Yeah.
And then give them that, but make sure that you get what you want as well. I think that's 100%. Key to any negotiation.
Yeah. Right?
And I've done some pretty big negotiations at this point, and I've learned so much through them that, you know, I just wouldn't have known unless you go through something. That's the thing. You don't really learn something unless you actually go through it.
Do you ever feel like do you ever have a situation where you're like, okay, this deal can be, let's use like bigger numbers, like, you know, $300,000 deal, $500,000 deal, $1 million deal, and you're afraid if you throw out the number, they'll be like, and they'll walk away and you'll lose the whole deal?
Depends on how much, I mean, how much that deal means to you. If you have a number in mind that you can't go below, then if they are not open to that, then what's the point of doing the negotiation?
So, okay, can we talk about this for a second?
Sure.
Because I met this lovely, lovely entrepreneur named Mark with Startup Van, which I'm sure you're familiar
with.
Mark was so kind. I was like dying. I was like, God, I'd love to have you on the podcast, but you're not a girl, you know? And he was so kind, and we had a whole conversation about this, about how, like, just logically working out what your numbers are, figuring out what is the bottom line just as an operating. Because I think sometimes we look at something and we're like, we look at it more just the number itself, not like what it takes to operate. So can you talk about that? How do you look at a business? How can we as a society of entrepreneurs be smarter about understanding where we are in business and what we absolutely need to ask for, because it's a necessity to make our company breathe?
It really does depend on what you need at the time. You know, you could do something that's a good deal because you get really good press exposure from it. You could do something because it's revenue.
Yeah.
You could do something because it brings your product roadmap on. There's several reasons why you would do something. And if it doesn't meet, you have to have your own sort of decision-making process,
right?
That everyone signed up to and agrees on and knows. And if it doesn't meet those criteria, then don't do it. And I think... It's hard to turn stuff away, especially if it's revenue.
Yeah.
And people tend to take things on that aren't quite the right fit,
or
they're slightly different, but they're revenue in the door. And yes, sometimes it's the right decision to do that because you need revenue in order to
100%.
Be around. But sometimes it can take you really, really far and tie you up for a whole year, you know, and that can just put you back, and other competitors can speed up. So you really have to make those decisions each time and just decide what the actual criteria are.
And how would you say that you overcome challenges? Like, I can't let you go and finish this interview before you share that, because I mean, having 20 employees under you is huge, having raised seed money, huge, having now a self-sustaining company, huge, working with extraordinary brands. Like, what are some of the brands you could mention that you work with?
So we work with QVC, we work with AOL, we work with Viacom, TV3 in Ireland,
amazing.
Yeah, which is great.
Amazing. So how do you overcome those, like, really challenging points?
It's when you look back, right?
Yeah.
And you go, and as you just said, all those things are amazing. But for me, I'm just kind of really looking ahead, you know, and you kind of struggle through things. You have a group of people that you can talk to, and that's one of the best things about accelerators and places like this, like Workbench, because you have a group of peers who are going through the same sometimes very puzzling challenges that you are, that you can actually talk things out with.
I think that's so important, not to live in a silo,
but also to have a good network of mentors, which is very important to us. Like, you know, when we raised our seed round, we made sure to include some people who knew what they were doing and had done it before and could give us proper advice with the benefit of their hindsight and their experience. And that's really it. You know, that's what mentors are. It's people who just a little bit further on than you kind of go, don't do that.
Totally.
I did that. Don't do that.
Totally.
Or try this route, you know.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I, as I was saying, Mark here with the Startup Van was really supportive in mentoring me as I've been here in Dublin. And so you guys, if you want to check out the Startup Van, it's so cool. They travel around, I think it's like the world, like, and they have a van where they do interviews with entrepreneurs. And so it's on Twitter, it's startup_van. So definitely check them out if you have a chance. Claire, you're awesome.
Oh,
you're so inspiring.
Thank you.
What's one thing you'd like to leave everybody with before we take off? And how can they connect with you?
Oh, you can connect with me on Twitter. I'm at Claire McHugh. Very, very simple.
Can you spell it just in case?
Yes, C-L-A-I-R-E-M-C-H-U-G-H. And that's probably the easiest way to connect with me.
And why don't you give us your company URL again?
Yes, yeah. It's axonista.com. AXONISTA.com.
Cool. Well, thank you so much for hanging out with the Women in Tech podcast. This has been awesome. And thank you, Bank of Ireland and Workbench, for this rad space that we're sitting in right now. And I will see you guys, talk to you guys in the next episode. Definitely feel free to reach out to me, Esprit Devora, on Twitter, or Women in Tech Show, as also our Twitter handle. And connect with other incredible entrepreneurs like Claire on Women in Tech. The Women in Tech Facebook group, which is at womenintechvip.com. That's womenintechvip.com. Takes you straight to the Facebook page, so you don't have to worry about trying to find the right one. And I will see you guys, talk to you guys, hear you guys in the next episode. Bye.
This episode of the Women in Tech Show is powered by UpGuard. UpGuard's discovery engine brings visibility to complex IT environments, enabling teams to quickly identify risk, confirm compliance, and make business safer. They are proud supporters and employers of incredible women in tech. To be notified every time a new Women in Tech episode is released, simply text Women in Tech to 310-872-2423. That's 310-872-2423. To support the Women in Tech Show, it's super easy. All you need to do is start doing your Amazon shopping by clicking on this link first, womenintechshow.com/Amazon. That's womenintechshow.com/Amazon. The Women in Tech Show is hosted by Esprit Devora, edited by MKW Films, show notes provided by Carl Marty, music by Jay Huffman Live. The Women in Tech Show is a WeAreTech.fm production.